to a podcast for the Queensland Integrity and Health Series. My name is Tracy Pickett and I am a medico-legal advisor with Avant and a director of the Queensland Doctors Health Program. Each year, the Office of the Integrity Commissioner, together with its supporting partners, Health, Ethics and Law Queensland, among others, arranges an Integrity and Health Series. This year's topic is mandatory reporting for health professionals. What are the ethical and legal ramifications? As a result of the global pandemic, which is presently underway, we're convening this series as a podcast. And today I'm delighted to be sharing our integrity and health journey with our partners, the Office of the Health Ombudsman, Doctors Health in Queensland, Avant, and HEAL, which is the Queensland chapter of the Australasian Association of Bioethics and Health Law. Joining me as co-hosts in this series are Dr. Nicola Stefanov, the Queensland Integrity Commissioner, Dr. Margaret Kay, the Medical Director working with Doctors Health in Queensland, and Dr. Melissa Naidu, the Chief Medical Officer and Head of Clinical Innovation for NIB. We have a stellar lineup of interviewees, including Dr. Claire Walker, the immediate past president of the Queensland Rural Doctors Association, and Outback GP with obstetric and anaesthetic specialties, Dr. Alex Markwell, emergency physician at the Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital and Greenslopes Private Hospital, and chair of the Queensland Clinical Senate, and Emeritus Professor of Medical Ethics at the University of Queensland and adjunct professor with the Health Law Research Centre at QUT, Professor Malcolm Parker. To start our discussion today, I have the pleasure of speaking to Dr. Margaret Kay, one of our co-hosts for this podcast series. Welcome, Margaret. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Tracy, and thank you very much for having me.
Margaret, before we start, I'd like to tell our listeners a little bit about you. Dr. Margaret Kay is the Medical Director with Doctors Health in Queensland. She works part-time as a general practitioner with clinical and research expertise in physician health and refugee health. She is a senior lecturer with the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Queensland, and her PhD focused on understanding the health access behaviours of doctors seeking medical care for themselves. So she is an expert in the area we are discussing today. Margaret, first I'd like to ask you to speak about an important component of the issues associated with mandatory reporting. And this issue is barriers, be they real or perceived, for doctors seeking help. And in particular for our listeners, it would seem that doctors are experts in the area of health, so why would they have trouble accessing healthcare?
Thanks, Tracy. Look, I think this is a really important issue, and I think doctors themselves find that they're surprised that they have barriers seeking healthcare when it comes to the time that they need to seek healthcare. And I think they don't prepare for their ability to access healthcare because they don't realise the barriers they're going to be exposed to. It's really important to understand that perceived barriers automatically become real barriers. If you think there's a barrier, then you just don't go that direction. So a perceived barrier is just as important as a real barrier. And again, I think many doctors don't really understand how the perceived barrier can in fact be the very reason they don't cross their line to become a patient. We don't talk about doctor patients generally, and even in the literature, when you look through the literature about doctor patients, the crafting of the doctor patient in the narrative that's in our published literature, and also, of course, in the general literature, is often about an angry patient, a patient who's really unwell and impaired, and the understanding of what it's like to be a doctor patient doesn't really come across in a very positive way. So that's certainly one of the barriers, is just sitting in the seat of the doctor patient is not necessarily a comfortable thing, not a nice hat to wear. But doctors basically know a lot about health. They recognize that time heals many things. They know how to use an ice pack or a hot pack take a couple of Panadol. Doesn't have to be anything unusual about self-care, but we trust our bodies and we know that many of these minor health issues will just go away, and we don't necessarily feel a need to run off and seek professional advice because we understand the nature of health and how things get better over time. So when we consider that from our professional perspective and use that professional knowledge in our personal health care, it's not unreasonable for us to look after ourselves like anyone would if they knew how to do that. And then, of course, when it comes to our immunizations, like our flu vaccine, we just line up with everybody else at the hospital and we don't necessarily go off to our GP. So in the end, we are an educated bunch because we happen to have gone to university and been lucky to have had that journey. We are automatically health literate because of the education we received. We certainly have food and housing, which that security is actually a key factor for everyone's health. So we have that good health in the background. And so therefore, we often find ourselves in a situation where we don't need to establish that initial relationship with the GP. Also, in our training, we move around a lot. And sometimes even in our professional career, we move. So doctors are often very, very mobile. And so establishing that relationship, we don't just get time to do it. And then we don't get round to doing it. And then we're moving on anyway, even if we did find a GP back in that city. So basically, we're in the situation where we don't establish the relationship. We don't have time. We don't prioritize the need for that doctor-patient relationship for all those reasons. And then we don't get an opportunity to strengthen the relationship because it was never established. So what happens then is that we leave our preventive health issues that are more complex, very poorly addressed. Whatever our family history might be that leads us to have certain preventive health needs, they're not necessarily addressed. We don't have anyone championing our cause and talking to us about what we need to do. And so we end up having quite significant barriers. So Tracy, that's really a summary of the types of barriers that doctors seek, but when they're seeking healthcare, and I think it's been an important issue for doctors to start considering those before they start seeking care.
So Margaret, that leads us to look at mental health care in particular. Do you think that there are perceived barriers associated with doctors seeking help for mental health issues if they're worried about mandatory reporting or any other things?
Of all the barriers, I think the concerns around seeking help for mental health care is the most significant one that doctors have. And doctors are very worried about mandatory reporting. They need more education about mandatory reporting so that they understand that they can seek healthcare. But unfortunately, even since the recent legislation changes, we are now getting more calls on our Doctors Health in Queensland service from family members telling us that their family member or friend is too frightened to even call us. And that's recognizing that they could call us anonymously. So this is a deeply concerning thing. They basically are telling us that their family member, their dad, their sibling is a doctor with depression who's simply too frightened to seek care. And I think that it's something that we need to address. I understand that doctors get very embarrassed about the fact that they have a mental health issue. It's something that we pride ourselves in our capacity to think through things. And I think, therefore, our cognitive capacity and our mental health capacity is often something that we're perhaps a little proud of. And to feel that that might be lacking a little bit is something we find hard to actually talk to someone about. I understand that when we're feeling anxious and when we're feeling a lack of energy because of our mental health problems, it's even harder to establish that relationship with a GP. So here we are embarrassed, don't feel like we've got the energy to do anything, feeling extra anxious. And then on top of that, the icing on the cake, the fear of mandatory reporting, it becomes extremely difficult to be connected with a GP. So I can only say that that's one reason why doctors really do need to have a GP right at the beginning, someone that they have a relationship with, that they've got that established relationship, that they've been to the GP a number of times, so they feel a trusted relationship with that person, that they feel that they know that provider of their care is able to maintain their confidentiality, that they understand the boundaries that that doctor has provided for them, and they understand that they feel comfortable with those boundaries and that relationship and the shared decision making in that relationship. I also think that we underestimate the support that we can get from our medical defence organisations. If we're worried about accessing care because of a legislation like mandatory reporting, then surely we need expert advice, legal advice, about whether or not that's actually something we really do need to worry about. So we often tell people, just ring your medical defence organisation and have a chat to them, and I think you'll find that this is not an issue for you. You have a right to health access. The other thing I like to emphasise for people who really do already perhaps have the complexity of medico-legal issues, as well as the fact that they've got depression or another mental health issue, that really the one thing that APRA really want to see is that, in fact, you're connected to health service. So being connected to a health service is a positive whichever way we look at it. So, Tracy, I think they're the important issues that people do have barriers when they access care for mental health services, but at the same time, it's really important that they do.
And, Margaret, you did mention the service Doctors Health in Queensland. You're the medical director there. Can you tell us a little bit more about that service and why there's a need for a specialised doctors health service that is just for doctors and medical students?
Yeah, so I'm really proud to be a part of Doctors Health in Queensland. I think it's really important for doctors generally, doctors and medical students, to understand that there is a service out there which is a basically, most importantly, a phone service that's there for colleagues. So it's there for you to get confidential advice when you need support. It's there to talk through your workplace stress, your bullying and harassment experience that you can't confide with anyone else nearby. We can help you find GPs, specialists, depending on what the health issue is. We can just debrief you through the clinical incident that you've been exposed to. And when you want and need confidential help, then there's a phone number, which is 07-3833-4352, which is a helpline number, and it has been the helpline number for over 30 years now, providing care. But at the same time, we provide a lot of education. We actively advocate for doctors' wellbeing across Queensland, and we've been very involved in the national and international space. We teach, we educate, and we also get engaged with research as well. And we network with many organisations, a great variety of organisations, to try and ensure that we are educated appropriately about all the medico-legal issues and the things that we need to be aware of, and at the same time that we have that knowledge then brought back to our service and the delivery of care. The Doctors Health in Queensland is a dedicated group of volunteer GPs who actually make themselves available to answer that call from the distressed colleague. And we're available 24 hours a day. It's a bespoke service. It's a specialised service. And it's increasingly important as a step towards enabling doctors to conquer those barriers we just talked about. And that way we hope to connect people to their own GP. We think that that's a vital step for enabling health access, because when you're frightened and you're scared, when you're just not thinking through things carefully and you're just sitting there wondering what the next step is, I think sometimes having a colleague help walk you through those barriers and help you get out the other side of those barriers into appropriate care is really important. So we do have that specialised health service. Clearly, I think it needs to be adequately funded. If we want to enable doctors' health for the benefit of the whole community, then I must admit I do worry sometimes about having volunteers without adequate funding. We have to have volunteers. In South Australia, they actually have a GP clinic that's especially for doctors and medical students, that provides a private clinic with a private fee, and the clinic's open for a few sessions a week. I do think that that's an interesting concept, but it would be very challenging to do something like that in Queensland. Would probably be wonderful to have such a thing, but I think having the phone service is at least a very important step. The reality is that all doctors need a GP who's accessible, not necessarily hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And every individual needs to be able to develop a different relationship with their own GP, because we're all we all need different people to care for us. So having one little service trying to provide a service for everyone, it'll be hard to get someone to suit everyone. And all GPs need to actually understand the complexities of managing the doctor-patient relationship. So that's one thing that we do a lot of, is train GPs to deliver good GP care for doctors. And I actually think all specialists need to know how to care for doctors as well, because we will always have a doctor who is a patient occasionally, be always involved in that type of care. Ultimately, it's about establishing the relationship, strengthening the relationship, and delivering compassionate care to our doctors. And I think all people want a shared decision-making opportunity within that relationship. Patients want that, and doctors want that too. So a specialised service can enable the training for doctors to deliver good quality care to other doctors. And I think that's something that we do pretty well with Doctors Health in Queensland. So Tracy, ultimately it's about ensuring the availability of care at the right time, the right place, and delivering the right care to doctors when they need it.
Margaret, thanks so much for explaining the program, and also thanks for all you do in that volunteer service. It's a really important service to have for our medical professionals. But we're conscious of time, so we appreciate you sharing your knowledge on this very important issue with us today.
Thanks, Tracy. It's been really good.
And thank you all for listening to the Integrity in Health series with Dr. Margaret Kay and myself, Tracy Pickett.